Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Do you have somebody in your life that prays for you? I hope you do. I am a blessed man. There are a number of people that feel that God has called them to pray for me. And I know that prayer makes a great difference. Karl Barth once said that to clasp your hands in prayer is the beginning of a revolution. And so when I hear that somebody is praying for me, it lifts my spirit because I know that something can change. A power can come upon me that can transform my circumstances. Having people pray for you is huge. I have a friend. His name is Dr. Dan McKinnon. He lives in Ottawa. He's a Presbyterian pastor, a great man of God, someone that moves in the Spirit, who believes that God called him to pray for me. And quite regularly, I get an email from him in which he talks about what he believed God was asking him to pray for regarding my life, my ministry, my family. Just 2 days ago, I received an email from Dan, and he said that God had awakened him in the middle of the night. Wow, that's powerful and amazing. And that God had awakened him to pray for me and to pray for my family. Dan said he had this image or this picture of a cloud of oppression coming in, and that God called him to pray and to push that back. That's a gift to me, to have somebody like that in my life who is willing and eager to pray for me. Prayer isn't a one-sided conversation. It's not a religious activity or some kind of a ritual that we do to make points with God. Prayer is powerful. It actually can change a person's circumstances in radical ways. And it's good when we have individuals that are willing to pray for us and over us. What would it be like to have Paul praying for you? The Apostle Paul. He's written well over half the New Testament. He faced extreme persecution in every dimension. And he walked very closely with the Lord. What would it be like to have Paul pray for you? Well, that's precisely what happens in many of his epistles. He talks about these people, like the people of Philippi, and he says that he's been praying for them, or 1 Thessalonians, I remember you in my prayers. But there's a couple very particular prayers that he gives in the book of Ephesians that these are great, they're powerful, and they're the kind of prayer that I want somebody praying over me. Early in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his inglorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That was one of Paul's prayers. He's saying, I ask the Father certain things for you. And I think these things he's asking are great things. And even though I don't know you necessarily, though many of you I do, I want you to know that today I'm speaking this as a prayer over you. That it's not simply a discussion of something that's in Scripture, but it's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me, my family. But I wonder if you could receive it today as a prayer for you. You may even, in listening to this, lift your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, let me receive this prayer from Terry into my life in order that something deep may change. Paul begins by talking about the fact that he goes and he asks the Father. Wow, this comes right out of Jesus when he says that when we pray, let us pray, Abba, Father. The whole idea, again, in Hebrews chapter 10 and earlier, that we get to run into the throne room and that God receives us because of Jesus Christ. That's fantastic. We get to ask the Father. So I am today lifting up these words as a prayer, asking the Father in Jesus' name. That's very powerful. That's what gives us the right. That's what gives me the right to come to God in this prayer. I'm asking God in Jesus' name to fulfill this prayer in your life. And the first thing that Paul says that I'm now praying for you, and I'm also praying for myself, is that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, in the NIV, when you see the word spirit, it's capitalized. It's not just any spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. So Paul is asking that the God of Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, would come and give you the Holy Spirit so that there may be more wisdom and revelation in your life. Wow, this matches perfectly with something we talked about in a previous podcast, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks and says that God has made us with great and precious promises that we might be the aroma of God and that we could spread that aroma everywhere because we are partakers in a brand new covenant. But in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he begins to list all the things that are true of us, but then he goes on in chapter 2 to say that we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand what is true. So if we're going to be the aroma of God as we walk in this world, that people sense God with us and that we carry the fragrance of God, it's important that we know everything that's true of us in Jesus Christ. And you can't know that. I can't know that without the Holy Spirit being part of revealing that to our lives. That's an important point here, that we would receive from the Spirit wisdom and revelation, that He would open our hearts to an absolute new level of understanding about who we are in Christ and what we have received and the goodness and the glory of God's grace. Now, when Paul prayed this and said, I pray that you would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he didn't end it there. He now wants to mention four specific things, four specific truths and promises that he wants us to understand and experience. And so that's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you. And here's the first one. May God give you the Holy Spirit to reveal and give you wisdom about who you are in Christ. And the first thing is, may it take you to a place where you know him better, where you know Jesus better. That's the glory of what Christ has come to do. God isn't at some distance, but now through Christ, we can have an intimate relationship with him. But I like that prayer. I want more. I want to be more intimate with Jesus. I want to know him, not left brain principles, procedures, steps, but a deep personal experience of Christ. And that's possible when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal him to us. I think that's a great prayer. Is that something that would be on your heart today? Would you like to cry out, oh God, I want to receive this prayer. I want to know Jesus more. I was talking to a friend, a previous colleague this morning, and one of the things he was saying is that simply lifting up prayers to God is not enough for him anymore. He really wants to hear God back, that he wants to have an experience of the Lord's speaking into him in order that he can know, truly know, that God is with him. Well, that's what Paul is praying right here, that you would know him better. Paul was crazy about wanting to know Jesus better. That's why in Philippians he talks about the fact that I want to know him and fellowship in his sufferings and to know him in his death, to know him in his resurrection. He's saying, I want to experience Jesus. I want this to be something intimate in my life. Okay, let's just stop there. Is that something that may be true of you? If it is, just say to the Lord right now, wherever you are, I want this in my life. Even open your hands, if you will, and say, Holy Spirit, I want to know Jesus more. Will you show more of Jesus to me? Will you bring more of Jesus into my experience? I believe God will fulfill that prayer because I think it's something that God wants. And I know it's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do because Jesus himself said that the Holy Spirit is here to reveal Jesus to us. Okay, that's the first thing that Paul said. He said, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. But then he went on and said, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Isn't that a good phrase? So that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which you have been called. So he's saying, Holy Spirit, open their eyes, open their heart, deepen their experience so they know Jesus better, but they also know the hope toward which they have been called. Hope. Hope is something for now and for all of eternity. The concept that no matter what goes on in our lives, God can intervene. That we don't have to see signs of something improving to believe that transformation is possible because of what Jesus Christ has done. I've mentioned before that this is a difficult season in my life, the life of my family, as my mother begins to move deeper and deeper into Alzheimer's and her health is actually just getting worse and worse. But the one thing I hold hope to is this: Jesus is building a home for her in heaven. And that while there will be great loss when she makes that transition, the hope is that in that day she'll be more alive than she's ever been. And she will be free. And she will be reconciled with all those of her family that have gone before in Christ. Oh, that we would hold that hope and hold it close into our hearts. Now, that's not something we can do on our own. That's why Paul says, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Maybe today you're in a difficult circumstance and you wonder how you ever get through. Maybe it's financial, relational, employment-oriented. Ask the Lord through the Holy Spirit to show you the hope that is yours, that this isn't the final word, that all things do pass, and that there is always a fresh day, God's compassion new every morning. So, these are two things now that are part of this prayer that comes from Paul that is now my prayer for you. The first one is, as you receive this spirit of revelation and wisdom, that you would know him better. Boy, yes, I want that. The second is that your eyes would be open to the great hope that is yours because of Christ. The hope of reconciliation with God, the hope of part of the kingdom of God. On and on and it goes. Now, the next thing that Paul prays is that you also will understand the riches of your inheritance. He calls it here a glorious inheritance. In chapter 2, he calls it an incomparable riches, which are yours by grace. Isn't that a wonderful thought that there are amazing riches that are yours? That's one of the things that really keeps us down in our own insecurity is not knowing what is true of us in Christ, who we really are, what's really been given to us. This is why several podcasts ago I talked about 1 Corinthians and how even when Paul was wanting to admonish people for bad behavior and call them back to who they are in Christ, he begins by these amazing statements of what is true of them. You're spiritually gifted. You have special speech. You're going to be held fast to the end. You're connected to Christians everywhere. You can access grace. You can access peace. That's just a thumbnail sketch of all that is ours in Christ. Treasures. And sometimes when it feels like a spirit of poverty is coming upon one's life, it's a good thing to have somebody pray, may they see the riches of Christ that are theirs. Isn't that a good word? I think that's a word that we could all use today. God, in this world where there is so much insecurity, may you show me the riches of who I am in Christ. And may I never wander from home in order that I can always access the wonder of those riches. I think that's a great word that all of us could receive and great prayer. Okay, so I'm going to review now. We've seen three things here. Paul prays that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us certain things. Holy Spirit, please do that right now where we are. First, make a revelation as such that we would have a deeper relationship with Jesus, deeper intimacy with Jesus. Number two, open our eyes that we can see the hope that is ours. Number three, help us to see and understand the riches the glorious riches, the incomparable riches that come to us because we're in Christ Jesus. And then the final thing he says in this particular prayer is, and may you also see the incomparable great power that's yours because of Jesus Christ. Power. This is something that has to continually be unfolded for me. And I can only do that by asking the Holy Spirit for help. Paul once said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. And when he went into somewhere to minister, he would say, as he did in 1 Corinthians, I don't come to you with persuasive words, but I come with a demonstration of God's power. The power that transforms lives, the power that works miracles from the mundane, the power that brings healing and deliverance to people. And what Paul is saying is, I ask the Holy Spirit to show you the power that is within you. You see, the same power that rose Christ from the dead is the power that is in you. And when we're walking around in a spirit of poverty with absolutely no confidence, feeling totally insecure, boy, the enemy can grab us then. But what we need to recognize, none of that's true. Not because we've earned something more, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have now been given this, incomparable power. Isn't this amazing? Paul isn't saying here, I pray that you receive things. He's saying, I pray that you would see what you've already received, intimacy with Jesus, an incomparable hope, great riches, and the power of the Holy Spirit that is yours. Now, later on in the book of Ephesians, Paul wanted to remind these people what used to be true of them in order that they would, with more excitement, lay hold of what is now true. So he says to them, you know, there was a time when you were separated from citizenship in Israel. That means you weren't part of God's people. That was true of me. That must have been true of you. There was a time when we were not part of God's people. We were separated because of our own brokenness and sin. We were not part of God's Israel. It also says that there was a time when you were a foreigner to the covenants of promise, that they weren't made for you. They were made for God's people, but because we were not God's people, all those covenants of promise, they had no effect upon us. And that was true of us at one time. He also says that we were a people without hope. See, the end would be a terrible end. And that was what we were all headed for. And he says also that we were without God in this world, that we were a people that didn't have a deep and an intimate relationship with God. And then the final thing he says here in chapter 2, verse 13 is, but because of Christ, we have now been brought near. So all of these things have been reversed. Instead of being separated from citizenship in God's kingdom, we are now part of that kingdom. Instead of being foreigners to the covenant of God, these covenants are now ours, covenants of promise, fulfilled in Christ. Instead of not having hope, we have great hope. And instead of living a life apart from God, we are connected to God to such a degree that His Holy Spirit lives right inside of us. How could this not do anything but take our breath away? And we didn't earn this. We didn't have to measure up for it. It's ours because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. This is when we really become the aroma that Paul talked about. That when we walk around, people begin to, if you will, smell Jesus. And they smell the glory of the Lord. When we understand all that is true of us. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, and as he says here in Ephesians, I can't get that on my own. These principles are too big for me. These thoughts are too great for me. But if I ask the Holy Spirit to give a spirit of wisdom and revelation, oh, Holy Spirit, give us greater wisdom, greater revelation about what is true of us, all of a sudden, things can begin to open up. And these four things that open up here are priceless. So this is Paul's prayer. And now it's my prayer for you, my prayer for me. Is it something you want to receive today? Then just open your heart. Just turn yourself toward God and say, God, let these things be true of me. May the Holy Spirit show me all of these wonderful truths. May he bring me into a deeper intimacy with Jesus. I believe God wants to answer that prayer today. Open your heart to it. May he show me the hope that is mine in Christ. May he give me a better ability to see and understand the riches that are mine in Christ, and may I be able to lean into the power of the Holy Spirit that belongs to me in Christ. That's a great prayer. And I hope that in some way you are receiving this as a prayer from me over you, right out of Scripture, but also for your life. Do you need a deeper intimacy with Jesus? Could you use some more hope? Would you like to understand more of what's true of you in Christ? Would you like to touch the power that is yours? Then just open your heart and say, God, let this prayer be mine. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Well, I will have hope. Yes, I will have hope. Yes, I will. Well, I will have hope. Yes, I will.